Lady Poxenarian, said the captain with a low bow. I have orders to convey you at once to the Regency Council, if you are not too fatigued with your journey. His voice conveyed the secure belief that they would indeed be too fatigued. Pox returned the bow. Not at all. It is in answer to Gerd's call that I seek the Regency Council. It cannot be too soon. To her surprise, the captain reddened slightly. Well, lady, the council assumed you would wish to take refreshment whenever you came, and in fact, they are in session now, but when they come forth, I am sure— Pox followed the pressure she felt. By your leave, captain, I would not intrude, but by the gods' commands. If you will, guide us to the council, and make known to them that I would see them.
They know you're coming, he blurted, completely flustered.
Yes, but not when, nor exactly what I have come for. Sir, the matter is urgent. She felt this intensely, as if every moment now mattered. I believe they will agree on the necessity for this when I give my message.
Well, lady.
Clearly he did not know how to argue with a paladin on quest. Pox smiled at him. Come, captain, take me to the council, and let them decide if they have time. We do no good standing here in the cold. At that, he bowed, and led the way across the courtyard. The three squires followed Pox closely. She noticed, even in that rapid walk, how different this court was from that in Chea. Fluted columns of pinkish stone supported a portico on three sides, and rose to frame a pointed arch opposite the gate. Above were walls, ornamented with half-pillars, separating pointed windows, several rows of them up to the fretwork of stone that hid the roofs from those below. A lacework of frost or snow glittered from every roughness of the stone, making the palace shimmer with the rose and silver of Saya. Suddenly, from far over their heads, a sweet, powerful clamor broke out. For a moment Pox could not think what it might be. Then she remembered the bells. The captain turned to her, speaking through the sound.
You have heard our bells before, lady?
No. Pox could not say they were beautiful. She wanted only to listen. In the song they were gold, the golden bells of Arella. She wondered if they truly were. The captain talked on, heedless.
The elves gave them when Varela was founded. To look at, they are pure gold, but of course, they cannot be all gold, for it would not stand the beating. But the elves had them cast, and their voices are sweet to hear.
His last words rang loud. The bells had ceased. How often do they ring?
It depends on the council. Always at true dawn, as the elves have it, and sunfall, and at midday when the council is sitting, and for any festival, of course, midwinter, summer eve, Tori's eve, high harvest, Gerd's victory, for those.
They had come to steps, leading up to tall doors under the arch. Guards in rose and silver nodded to the captain, and he led them in. Here the floor was set with polished blocks of silver-gray stone. Pox looked around the wide hall. Wide stairs rose ahead of her, where the hall narrowed to a passage still wider than the main room in a cottage. To right and left were tall doors, folded back to reveal great, empty rooms, opening into other rooms. Tapestries hung on the walls. The lamp sconces were polished silver. The captain had paused for a moment, looking around. Pox saw a youth in a green tunic, with red piping over red hose, Marakai colors, if her memory served, come into the room on the left. The captain hailed him.
Pardon, Kurgan. Is the council still sitting?
The young man, a squire, Pox was sure, though the title was that of eldest son, nodded.
Yes, captain, why?